across the country and around the world.
We are listening now to
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Welcome to Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com.
Frazier open on the right wing, gets a pick. Looking for the roll to Keller down the lane. Layup good! And he's fouled! Looking for Tisdale. Out top to Chester for three. Short. Went and got his own rebound. Chester put it up and in. Nobody stopped Chester Frazier. Left front court, Dimitri. Let's take care of the ball here, guys. Quick pass inside. Brock layup. Good. Count it. Chester down the lane with seven to shoot. Chester, backdoor cut. Tisdale slams it in. Tisdale with the flush. Seconds. Three. 62-54. Illinois. Let him shoot it. Drayton's for three, and he missed it. And the rebound is grabbed by Illinois. And a hard-fought win over the Iowa Hawkeyes.
And now, here's a Cubs fan who drinks light beer and has mustard relish and grilled onions on his Chicago dog. And a White Sox fan who prefers single malts and Cuban cigars. But there's no mistaking their everlasting love for the Fighting Illini of the University of Illinois. You are Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
We're back for the second half, Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. You can call in at 888-463-6748 or email at talkingillini@yahoo.com like David Berger did last week and requested to get some AAU coaches on, and we delivered Mike Mullins. I think that was a terrific segment there with the coach and some interesting information. It's got to be gratifying to, help out these kids and get them scholarships and work with them.
I was encouraged by his opinion of Bertrand. I expected him to be, a little more subdued about Bertrand's upside. He just think the sky's the limit, that he's got NBA potential. I was shocked to hear him say that.
Well, yeah, he might be a little biased, obviously, because he's been in his program. But I'll tell you what, Bertrand has an older brother who's a senior at Division III Augustana. And if Joseph plays with the motor that this kid plays, and from what everyone tells us about his skill, he's going to be a terrific player. Before we get to our next guest in a few minutes, Mr. G, we've got some fan mail I'd like to acknowledge. As you know, recently there was a nice little article about us in the Alumni Magazine, and we've got some...
Do you have to be a lifetime member of the Alumni Association
to get
them? If anybody wants a copy of the magazine article...
Email us, and we can email...
I was just going to say that. Boz took the words out of my mouth. Email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Again, that's talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll send you a copy of that article. It's a nice profile on the two of us and what we try to bring to Illini Nation.
So let me read these quickly. It's a lot of fun to open the computer and the email and see some fan mail. This first one says, "Hi, Boz and Mr. G. I read the article about you in the Alumni Magazine. Pretty cool that you guys have your own radio show. What caught my eye is that you guys grew up in Skokie. I grew up in Skokie as well, parentheses, though I'm a bit younger than you, and actually moved back to Skokie in 2006. You can ask my husband..." Another parenthesis, a cheesehead and Packer fan of all things, "that I bleed orange and blue, and I'm proud to say that I've already jaded at least two of my three children. The third one will come around. She just can't talk yet. They are also very proud fans of the lovable loser Chicago Cubs." So this is a woman in my heart, even though she's a lot younger than
Did
us.
Did she send a picture, by the way?
No. Best of luck, but I'm sure your creative, ingenuity could find one somewhere. Best of luck with your show. If you ever have a Skokie segment on your Talking Illini show, I'd love to join you. You can ask anyone who knows me. I'm a great talker. Regards, Renee Horwitz Thompson. 99 business. So she is a bit younger than us. But Renee, Our Skokie's segment is anytime, noon to 2 Mondays. Give us a call, 888-463-6748.
Boz will bring the bagels.
Here's another one. And what do you call it? A oxymoron that she's from Skokie and likes to talk. Hi, Scott. We were on the same Little League baseball team together over 40 years ago. Your dad was one of the coaches. In my finest sports moment...
By the
moment,
way, Scott being Boz, I believe.
In my finest sports moment, I was responsible for 2 outs of a triple play. I was playing first base. I caught a line drive, tagged the runner going from first to second, then threw the ball to third, and the third baseman tagged the runner between third and home. And I recall that your uncle's Tom Bosley of Happy Days. I also went to the U of I, although I'm not as much as into Illini sports as you are. Good luck with the program. I saw the article in the January-February Illini Alumni Magazine. Regards, Ron Schwartz. Thank you, Ron. I don't have another one, but we got an email from a gentleman, your high school class. His name's Rob Lerner, grew up a couple blocks from me. We went to the same grammar school. He's working in upstate New York, and he saw the article and emailed us last week and loved it. And finally, this was prior to Jaren's coming on the show. Boz, say hello to Jaren's for me. He and Bruce are two of the most humble men I've ever met. Jarence is very good at his job and very down to earth. He's the kind of person you could call any time with any problem. I feel very blessed that my son will have an opportunity to observe and learn from him in the years to come. Go Illini from our friend Cliff Paul, Brandon Paul's dad. So thank you very much. Keep the letters coming to talkingillini@yahoo.com. A lot of fun to get those, and we'll try to acknowledge them as best we can. Warren lost a couple games. Speaking of Brandon, lost a tough one against Zion Benton. Beginning of the week, got upset by Stevenson on Saturday, but a friend of mine who coaches at Stevenson told me that Brandon had been sick all week and has an injury on a finger on his right hand to where he was shooting free throws lefty. So that might be a reason.
It may explain the 0 for 10 from the free throw line for Brandon on Saturday
night.
I thought he played a little passively against Zion Benton the other night. I watched the game on TV.
Yeah, well, I guess he was a little under the weather. We didn't know about that. I wouldn't have known about it unless I contacted my friend to congratulate him on the win. But those things happen. Michael Jordan played some of his best games.
By the way, we've got your guy waiting.
My guy, wait no longer, Soupy. Let's bring in John Supini, writes for the Gatehouse News Service, which his articles appear in the Peoria Journal Star, Springfield State Journal Register, and the Rockford Register. He's been covering Illini hoops since 91 and football since 97. Soupy, how's your Groundhog Day going?
I think I saw my shadow, so I think that means it's bad luck or something.
Six more weeks of winter, Soupy.
Hey, listen, son of a gun.
Are we ready to grab a shovel and put a scoop of dirt on this team, or is this team much better than the team that we saw play this week?
Well, I think they're better than what they were at Minnesota, but it's just going to get harder for these guys because I think people have scouted them. They know tendencies, and it's going to be a situation where they're going to have to play harder, and they're going to have to be smarter, and they're going to have to be more efficient. And it's part of the grind of the season, especially in the Big Ten, where people really get into scouting and scouting reports, and assistants can work for a week or 2 weeks at a time on a scouting report. It's going to get tougher, and especially when you start rolling it back to the second time through.
Yeah, you look at the schedule and you say, well, gee, we could win any game and lose any game left on the schedule.
Oh, I really believe that, and that's part of the competitive level of the Big Ten this year. This is more balanced than I think I've ever seen it. And, you know, there's been some years when there's been some great teams and it's been top heavy, or there's been some years when the balance meant that it wasn't very good. But I think this is balanced and a really good league this year. You look all the way, I've been watching Northwestern, and they're really fun to watch. And, you know, that's usually a team that's down toward the bottom. And you look at Iowa, they've got some sophomores and a really good freshman, and they're going to be tough to beat in certain situations. So this is not going to be an easy month.
By the way, I think Iowa's a well-coached team. They really play hard. They get after it. They know their scheme, and they control tempo nicely.
Well, when Licklider gets some players in there, I think it's going to be, they're going to be really tough. I mean, he's the guy, you know, after Mata left Butler, he's the guy that really kind of got Butler going, and that was his system. And I think Licklider is going to be really good when he gets a couple more players.
Yeah, this conference, this is only the beginning of what's going to be a terrific competitive conference in years to come, what with the influx of new coaches, big-time coaches with experience, big names. We mentioned Licklider. You got Tubby up in Minnesota, Crean at Indiana, Beeline at Michigan. And also, there's a lot of good young players now, and all these schools believe that they have top recruiting classes coming in the next couple of years also. It's going to be terrific.
I think, you know, I wrote a little bit about last week. I think this is it was really key a couple of years ago when the Big Ten hired some really talented coaches and some name. You know, when you got some guys that knew what they're doing, and then you get a guy with like Tubby's reputation that can really help a team that Minnesota that's usually a bottom half in the Big Ten. And we'll see if Minnesota can keep Tubby. They're already worrying about losing him after this year up there. But I really think that the league is back. And it's going to be back for a while as long as they can keep some of these guys. You look at the sophomore class this year, the sophomores are really good in the Big Ten, and you would think that most of those guys are going to be back next year, and that's just going to help the league get better down the road.
Yeah, I don't see Tubby leaving for a place like Alabama unless they're willing to pay him, you know, $2.5 million a year and Minnesota doesn't respond to it. I just don't see him leaving for a program like that.
Maybe not Alabama, but I think they're really kind of worried about if Tubby's going to have a shot at Arizona. And I think people in Minnesota are also worried what's going to happen with Gary Williams at Maryland and would Tubby get that kind of a job. So I think they're worried they're going to lose him. So I think they know that sooner or later he's not a long timer there.
Well, speaking of Minnesota, what were your feelings? We kind of knew after the first 5 minutes or so that this was going to be not so good a night for the Illini. After traveling up there and you see that start to develop, do you wish you would have stayed home and just watched on TV?
Yeah, because I had to go through O'Hare, man. That's the biggest black hole on the earth. But I just kind of thought, well, sooner or later, they're going to hit a couple shots and they're going to make a game of it because every game this year, they've had at least a little run where, even in the games they've lost, you know, they were hot at a certain point, and that was the first game where they just stunk the whole game. And I was just waiting for them to make a couple shots, waiting for somebody like Tisdale to hit a couple jumpers, and it kind of get it rolling, and it never happened. And I was really surprised that it never happened at all.
You know, I contend, again, we talked about it a little earlier, and especially in a game like that when you're not hitting from outside, and frankly not even close. There were more clankers than in and outs. And I just, in those cases, want to see, you know, the ball maybe put inside a little more or cutters go into the hoop. Yesterday, you know, we saw some guys cut back door and get some easy baskets. And when you're struggling from outside, I feel you got to make a concentrated effort to do that, and I didn't see that in Minnesota.
No, you know, and even I was on a teleconference earlier with Weber today, and he was even saying, yeah, he's got to get, especially his guards to cut harder and make sharper cuts and make, you know, just get more movement, and they've got to get themselves open a little bit better, and they got to even make some cuts and get some easy baskets. You're not always relying on jump shots, so that's exactly what you're talking about, and. You know, you got Trent Meacham, who's really been off since he had a 7-for-10 game against Indiana, you know, what, 2-3 weeks ago. And I think since then he's something like 7-for-32 from the field. And you got to figure out a way to get a guy like Alex Legion some scoring. I mean, I know he's got to learn how to play defense and do other things, but you would thought he was going to be a guy that can give you a little bit of a spark off the bench with a couple shots. So,
by the way, we can't have two guys out of our starting five who won't look at the basket. And right now, Frazier and Meacham don't want to even look at the rim.
Well, I think Chester wants to look at it more than Meacham does, and I think that's a little bit of a concern. But you got to get Trent to where he's back thinking about shooting, where he's confident about shooting, where he can get a couple easy shots and then get his confidence back and start hitting some baskets, because that's what he did really well for the first 16, 17 games.
He also put the ball on the floor a little more, too, and people respected his outside shot. So they'd overplay him on the screens, and he was able to catch the ball off the dribble, off the pass, and put it on the floor and get to the hole a little bit more. I haven't seen him do that as well. I mean, this is a situation where the lack of his outside shot is impacting his entire offensive game.
he's a better athlete than what people think. I mean, he's got a little bit of a quick step, and he's a lot, you know, even earlier, like you said, he was getting the ball to the hole a little bit. So if he could do that, it would open up everything. And he is a better athlete than what people in the stands think.
By the way, this just in, Illinois is 21st in the latest ESPN USA Today poll, down from 20th in last week's poll. I actually thought they'd drop a little worse than that.
It doesn't seem like the movement is so abrupt with the coaches as it is with the media. And I think it's going to be a longer shot to stay in the AP top 25 poll than the coaches poll.
So you think we may drop out entirely?
Maybe. I think a lot of the media probably saw that score at Minnesota and thought, 36 points? How can that be a top 25 team? So that's going to be the hard one to stay in this week, I think.
Yeah, but isn't everyone allowed, you know, one bad game, for crying out loud? I mean, you know, every game, you know, the other losses were down to the last couple minutes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to me that was, you know, even Tiger Woods slices one in the woods every now and then, you know, and that was the mulligan for Illinois, you know, just throw it
but
out.
There's bad, and there's puke in your girlfriend's living room bad. I mean, that was bad.
You've never done that, have you, Soupy?
No, but I saw one of my friends puke his head one time.
Why does that not surprise me?
That was historically bad stuff on Thursday night.
It was pretty bad. It was, especially after talking your bosses into spending the money to go up there. So, yeah, it was, you know, Chester was claiming that he saw that one coming because everybody was getting a big head. But, I mean, they just didn't look. They didn't look sharp. I mean, they didn't look like they were moving crisp, and just looked like they were a little lethargic. And
I mean, we could have played that game in black and white with peach baskets.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, and especially in a place where they're getting a little bit of a home court advantage. That was when Minnesota jumped on them in the second half. You know, it was done.
We're talking with our friend John Supini. Give us a call at Talking Illini, 888-463-6748, or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We want to thank our good friend Ed Bond at the Illini Sports Network for sending those highlights to us that we had at the top of the hour. Soupy, anything interesting out of the Weber press conference this morning?
Well, you know, it was just the Big Ten call, and we only had him on there for... They do it on 10-minute slots, and you know, I asked him a little bit about the shooting. There was really no big news today. It was just, you know, just more coverage than, let me see here. There was nothing big today.
Did you listen in to any of the other coaches? Anything interesting that they had to offer up? Penn State, Michigan State, Northwestern.
I thought, to me, one of the most interesting stories is Northwestern, and you know, I think that he's finally feeling like he's got some players and some depth, whereas he's, you know, in the last few years he always had to lean on one or two guys, and you know, he's playing his top two or three still a little more than he wants, but he's finally starting to work his way down the bench a little bit, and you can just tell in Carmody's voice that he's got a shot, he's got something going here a little bit now, and you know, it's going to be hard to for an AD, even a new AD like Phillips to look past what Carmody's done, and you know. It's exciting basketball. I like watching guys move and cut and pass and share, and it was fun to watch the last few games with Northwestern.
I still think they can get more athletic, especially they're in, you know, one of the two best basketball markets in the world. To not have more athleticism on that team, I really is more about what kind of recruiting they're doing than the academic standards. You can find players in a market that big.
I would think it's always surprising that it's easier for him to get somebody from Croatia than somebody from Cook County. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, there's got to be somebody out there that can fit this. And I don't really buy the whole academic standards thing, because there are other schools with high academic standards like some of those, you know, like you're talking Duke and Stanford and wherever, they get it done, and you get it done in football. Why can't you do it in basketball?
My contention is, if Northwestern was smart and Chris Collins was really smart, he'd take the Northwestern job and turn it into the Duke of the Midwest. Not at that level, but turn it into a program that attracted excellent basketball players. If Duke could do it, and Chris Collins could bring that same identity and could do it at Northwestern, perhaps I shouldn't wish for that. They may actually do something smart and hire a guy like that, but that would be a perfect fit in my eyes.
Well, you know, and I still think that could be one of the best little pits in the Big Ten, because that's it's a great little stadium, and if you get it actually filled with your own fans rather than half the fans from, you know, half of it being the other school, then you could really have a home court advantage.
Right. If I was Phillips and made a change, though, I'm not sure I'd go with an inexperienced guy like Chris Collins. I think, well, first of all, you know, I think Carmody does have a chance to maybe save himself and get into the NIT, and that would put all this talk to bed, I think. But if a change does happen this year or down the road, I think you still got to go with someone with some head coaching experience, you know, that could bring in the athletes. They are going to get a little more athletic next year. They got a nice kid from Naperville Central, Drew Crawford, a 6'5 guard coming in who I've seen play and is a very nice player. But you're right. They're playing hard. They're playing with confidence. They're playing a little differently. They're playing a little more up-tempo and not these 50-point games. And it is fun to watch. I've been over there at a couple games, and it's certainly, you know, not going to be a cakewalk when we go there in another 10 days or so.
So given the state of the Big Ten Conference right now, handicap the second half for us. Give us who you think the favorites are and where you think it's all going to settle out, and where do you think the Illini are going to settle out?
Well, it really looks like Purdue's kind of got it back going again, and I think it's, you know, you hear all this stuff about Robbie Hummel can't practice, and he, you know, he hasn't practiced since December, but he guts it out and plays on Saturdays and Wednesdays, and I did pick them to win the league before the season started, and I just liked what they did last year. I thought they were going to be better, and I think they've turned out to be that way. It seems like they've got some athletes, but they also know how to play the game. Whereas you look at Michigan State, and they've got great athletes, but they just doesn't seem like they're really playing the game very well. You look at Kalen Lucas, and he throws the ball away more than he throws it to somebody else. And I think Purdue's going to be the team to beat in the Big Ten as long as Hummel's back doesn't just totally blow out. But Etuan Moores have been having a really good run here, and I think they're the team to beat. Second place, I give it to Michigan State until somebody takes it away from them. But after that, I think that's where it goes wide open. And I think Illinois will be in a race for third, and maybe as finish as high as second. But you know, I think Purdue's going to be the team to beat, and they might be pulled away a little bit. And I think this game Sunday when Purdue comes in town here, that's a really big one for Illinois. They really need to protect the home court on that one.
Who do you think would be favored if Penn State and Illinois played on a neutral court today?
I don't know. That one might be a pick'em. Penn State's guards. Illinois had trouble stopping Penn State's guards last year, and I don't see any reason why they're not going to have trouble stopping them this year. And you look at Cornley; he's a man inside, and I know that's Illinois still has trouble stopping people inside. So you know, Penn State's going to be a really tough team too. I don't know if they're going to have it in for the long haul, but you look at what they did yesterday. They did. I mean, they were raining in shots. It was incredible.
I don't think we match up very well with Penn State. I'd be very wary of that game.
Yeah, at Penn State, that's going to be a really hard one to win, and at Champaign, that's going to be another tough game too.
So if you have us fighting for third and maybe second, Dan, what are we going to end up with the second half out of the nine games?
Oh boy, now you're talking about math, and I went into words, not math.
Well, we've been fighting about this for now.
There are nine
weeks
games
now.
Left, four at home and five on the road.
Right, you don't have to pick them individually, just a number. You know, 4-5, 5-4, another 6-3.
Let's see, the last nine, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, five, you know, maybe five wins, maybe six.
Wow, I say 4 or 5. You know, 4 will get us 10-8. 5 will get us 11-7. 6 is a big number.
Yeah, 6 is too big. I'd say probably 5 wins over the last 9.
You're right where Boz is. Boz is 5, although his math gets fuzzy sometimes.
Well, I kind of, you know, I play the middle. I say 4 or 5. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think anyone would have taken a 10-8 conference.
You know why he plays the middle? But then he can say that he was right, whether it's one of his two answers. If he gives you one answer and sticks with it, I'd feel much more comfortable with his answer.
But isn't that typical? I mean, that's the luxury we have of being these talk show guys, because that's all they do, right?
I came out and I said, I think we're going to be 3-6 on the home stretch.
9-9
for the year. We squeak into the NCAA tournament with about a 7 or 9 seed, and we win one game.
You know, just because you win some of these games at home, then, you know, a lot of these people think that, well, they've already beat him once, they can go on the road and beat him again. But these are going to be some tough games to win, and I think that you're right that the Purdue and the Penn State games are really going to be tough at home.
Absolutely.
I don't count home victories. Home victories, to me, mean nothing. In the selection process, you know, you've got to win at neutral sites or on the road for those games to be really meaningful.
Well, but when you're talking Big Ten standings, you really need to protect the home court.
Yeah, and to me, it's a given. You've got to protect home court. And now, if you really want to make a difference, if you really want to grab people's attention, you've got to win neutral and road games.
Well, and it's been a while since Illinois has done that. You know, they've got that one against Purdue, but, you know, they really haven't done anything else on the road.
Right. Well, so speaking of that, what do you think about Thursday night at Wisconsin?
Thursday night at Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin's going to be really hard to beat. I don't think they're beat down. I think they played hard at Northwestern. I think that one's going to be that's going to be really hard. You look how hard it was for Illinois just to close it out here. I mean, they lost the big lead, and, you know, like down the stretch, it gets really tough for Illinois to score.
Yeah, that I'm nervous about that game also. Wisconsin's definitely due for a victory, and Cole's always a tough place to play. They've lost a couple there already, but if we should lose that game, then the Purdue game kind of becomes a must game on Sunday.
Yeah, this team has done well at not having back to back losses, so that I think if things don't go well at Wisconsin, you really need to get this one at home. And this Purdue team is really rolling right now. I think they're by far the best team in the league.
And I think Purdue plays very well on the road too. They may be a young team, but they're a team that plays much older than their chronological years.
Mm-hmm. They've got some skill, and they've got some, you know, some headiness, some basketball, like Weber calls basketball IQ. And, you know, I really think Etuan Moore is really good. I love watching him play. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And Hummel is smart. You know, they get something out of their centers. You know, Kramer's tough. To me, it's a team that fits together real well.
Yeah, Kramer's unbelievable. He always is in the middle of the action. Who's the guy I'm thinking of that? Maybe like Lucas Johnson almost, you know.
Kramer's the guy you hate to have guarding you in a game. Because you know he's just going to beat the snot out of you every time you touch
the
ball.
Well, he's come out with blood coming out of him the last few games.
He doesn't care. To
me, right.
You know, that's a badge of honor for him.
Yeah, it's, you know, and he doesn't seem to get tangled up with people like Lucas used to, but he's a guy that they love to slap on the best player, and he obviously gets under people's skin. Look how he got under Manny Harris, you know, and that was the key to the game.
Soupy, before we let you go, I saw an article you did recently on Evan Turner, and that last year he, you know, wasn't that thrilled at Ohio State. There was some transfer talk to Bradley. How'd you dig that up?
Well, you know, I had just heard that through the grapevine, and, you know, I was surprised that he was so, when I talked to him, I was surprised he was so forthcoming with it. I would have thought he would just said, oh, well, yeah, I thought about it a little bit, but it was no big deal. But he admitted that it got down to the nitty-gritty, and he almost left, and he had I guess his AAU people around Chicago were calling around trying to find where he could go, and he, you know, I was shocked to hear that he was thinking about Bradley and that there was some kind of mutual interest between the two. He also claimed that while growing up, you know, he was always with McKamey. Those two guys were inseparable. They were like brothers. And he said he spent more time with Dimitri than he did with his own real, you know, blood brothers. And when he got to Ohio State, he was on his own. He was lonely. He was, you know, away from home. And I think that hit him pretty hard. But once he stepped back and realized that, you know, he's growing up a little bit, he's maturing, he's going to be a key member of that program, I think he made the right decision. And I think it just took him a little bit of time to get to it. But he admitted that it was got really close to bailing on Ohio State.
Yeah, he's a terrific player. It's too bad we didn't get him. I love to watch him play. Mr. G thinks he might be a late first rounder if he comes out after this year.
Mr. G.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I mean, he's an incredible athlete, and he's got the length that they like, but skills, I don't know. What do you think? Skill level, is it there?
Oh, I you know, to me, he kind of reminds me of Scottie Pippen, except I actually think he's a better dribbler than Pippen was at this stage in their careers. I really think that Turner's, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Quentin Richardson. I think he's got a big upside in the NBA. There is no doubt in my mind that if he came out this year, and I've talked to a couple agents about it, that he would be drafted in the first round of this year's draft. And I think if he stays another year, he could be a lottery pick a year from now.
Mm-hmm. He's one that it really stung him when he got away. I think that Weber thought that they had him, and then I think Ohio State put a little bit of a squeeze on him, and the kid jumped at it. And I think that really, really, that was really a hard one for Bruce to swallow, because he thought he had him.
He's also a great defensive player too. He really guards. He can guard all over the court, and I think he's just got nice handles. The only downside in his game right now, he's not a great outside shooter.
Mm-hmm. He seems to be a good kid, and he seems to be a young man that really works hard at improving his game. So I think that'll help him down the road.
Yeah, you know, I saw him play a couple of years ago against Derrick Rose when Rose was schooling McCamey. Evan kind of went up to Dimitri and said, I'm going to start taking him now, and he held his own. But I think he needs one more year at least for sure.
Yeah, and when you talk about guards in the league, the other really guard that it goes back to Penn State. What do you guys think about Taylor Battle? I love the kid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now he's the hottest thing going in the conference, and one of the hottest in the country.
Yeah, he's fearless. Absolutely fearless.
You know, when you've got a guy like that can penetrate and finish, and then also hit from the outside, you've got something very, very special there, and he'll be tough for us to guard and everyone else in the conference, certainly.
Soupy, before we let you go today, give us a prediction. Where do you think is going to happen up at Kohl Center on Thursday night?
Kohl Center on Thursday night. Right now, if I'm a Illini fan, I'm worried that Illinois is going to be able to score enough points to win. I just think that, you know, that Wisconsin is going to make it difficult. Going to make it difficult on them to score. You know, I don't know if they're going to get too many easy baskets. I think Landry is going to have a better game. You know, and I think there's probably going to be somebody else from Wisconsin that's going to come up and be special, and I just think it's going to be something like, something like yesterday's score, 62-54, something like that.
The one thing we probably know for sure is that if the fans want to see you, you'll be at State Street Brat sometime before or after the game or both.
I don't know. My cardiologist put a beeper on my belt. Anytime I get close to a brat or any queso, it automatically goes off.
Soupy, great talking to you today. Thanks for joining us. Have a great trip up to Madison, and we'll catch you down the road.
All right, man. See you, boys.
See you,
okay.
Soupy.
That was John Soupini of the Gatehouse News Service talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Back in a moment with David Kaplan of WGN Sports and Comcast Sportsnet.
You want to build a house. Where do you start? With a plan, right? That's what AXA Advisors is all about. They work with you one-on-one to help you build a financial strategy, a good foundation that year by year can get you closer to the things you really want to achieve. So start right with a blueprint for life. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
Across the country and around the world, this is TalkZone.com, the best in Internet talk radio. You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We're back talking Illini, Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Final segment. We're glad to bring in for the second time from WGN Sports Central and Comcast SportsNet, David Kaplan. David, how are you this Groundhog Day?
Going on, boys.
Hello, Cappy.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Before we get into the McDonald's City Suburban Showdown, which we're definitely going to get into, give us your thoughts on what you've seen on Illini hoops and Big Ten hoops the last couple of weeks.
Well, I get to call a bunch of the games, so I've seen a lot of these different teams. And tell you what, Bruce Weber, in my opinion, is doing a whale of a job. Coming into this year, I don't think anybody thought Illinois would be where they're at. I think everyone thought they're going to be better. Bruce is a really good coach, but it'll take a little time till some of his recruits get there. I think he's done an amazing job to have this club where it is now, and they're a factor in that race, and that's a credit to the coach.
We're trying to decide how we're going to do. You know, the front nine here, 6-3, is terrific, and you're right. No one would have expected that, maybe other than me. But we're trying to figure out the back nine, whether we could go 5-4, another 6-3, or settle in for 4-5 in a 10-8 conference season. What do you think about that?
So what are you predicting the record might be?
Well, I'm thinking 4 or 5 more wins on the back nine that'll bring us to 10-8 or 11-7 at the end of the conference season.
See, Boz is a little schizophrenic, so he gets to give two answers, 4 exactly. And 5 wins.
I would go 11-7.
Okay, good.
That's what I see.
11-7. So that means that you see 5-4 going in. Cappy, I'm a little more pessimistic. I saw was the apocalypse at Minnesota, and I didn't see much better against Iowa. I've got us 3-6 going into the barn.
That's a tough place to go play in Minnesota. I went to college in the Twin Cities, so I used to go over and watch games there all the time, and that's not an easy place to play at. You know, the elevated floor, the whole deal, and teams are just better at home. So I think they're going to struggle at times. I mean, they got to come to Northwestern, don't they?
They do.
Yes.
That I think they can lose that game. That's a really pretty good basketball team.
And mm-hmm. That's why I say there doesn't look like there are any gimme wins on the back nine for us. The four home games that we have, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, or Purdue, are all losable games, and even the Indiana game and the Northwestern games, those are games you can lose on the road.
Yeah, in a league like the Big East, you can lose at any time, home or away, because even the teams that finish up the track, you got to play them at their place. You go, oh my God, how are we going to win that game? I mean, look at Notre Dame. I mean, this is a team that was rolling along, and then you start looking at, well, they've got to play them. They got to play this. It's just crazy.
I just wrote down Notre Dame, circled it, and pushed it across to Boz. They've lost 6 in a row in the Big East. They're not nearly as bad as losing 6 in a row, but in a league like that, it can happen.
Well, I think they were a little overrated to begin with. They're short on depth, and
yeah, Notre Dame.
Their starting lineup is fine, but they might have been a little overrated prior to New Year's and going into
If
the
Notre
conference.
Dame played in the Big Ten, where would you have them in the Big Ten?
I think they would be a really tough team to beat. I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten, but I think they're a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah, so you'd have them somewhere between 3-6 in the standings
no
in the
question.
Big Ten. Yeah, and you know, for them to lose 6 in a row in a conference like the Big East is unbelievable. It shows you the toughness of that league.
That league is ridiculous. That league is 16 teams, no divisions. It's ridiculous.
Right, absolutely. Let's get back to Northwestern for a second, because they're playing good ball. Before the season, and maybe even still now, there's whispers about Carmody's status. There's a new AD there, but... You know, if his job is on the line, I think he's doing a good job, and the team's helping him out of saving it right now. And you and the GN people are probably a little closer to that program. You know, is there something to it in terms of Carmody's status there?
I do not believe that Carmody's going anywhere, and I don't think he should. I think he is a really, really good basketball coach. It's just a really tough job to recruit to. He's done a good job. They finally have turned the corner. They just beat Wisconsin. They won at Michigan State. They beat Minnesota. I think this team can go to the postseason. They've never been in an NCAA tournament in school history, so you know how tough the job is. But I think that he's going to be there for quite a while.
But their admission standards aren't any tougher than Duke's, and I think it's just
yes,
a question. Well, it's a question of the university allowing kids who don't meet the general admission standards into the basketball program. And if you look at the football program, they've been able to entice football players to come to Northwestern, and some of those kids are marginal students. They all meet the overriding criteria of the university, but I still think it's a cop-out. I still think that Northwestern could attract better talent than they're attracting.
You know, they're not going to let the kids in that Duke lets in. I heard an interesting story from a guy who interviewed for the head coaching job many years ago. He walked in, he sat down at the interview, and they started talking about facilities and this and that. And then he started getting into the academic standards, and they said, well, you know, we're pretty strict on what we do here. And he took two transcripts, and he'd whited the name out. And he set them down, and he slid them across and said, can those two kids get into school? And somebody who was doing the interview looked at it and went, no chance. You just turned down Hurley and Leitner.
Yeah, I've heard that story before, but you know, the perfect guy for a job like that is probably Chris Collins. He'd bring his Chicago contacts to the table. His father would help him out in recruiting. He understands how to coach at an elite private institution. To me, that's the guy who could build a program like Northwestern.
Chris Collins?
Yeah, Chris Collins.
Number one, I don't think he'd take the job.
Wow. I think if I'm Phillips and making a change, I got to go for someone with some experience.
So we'll finish what were you going to say, David?
But the kids today, Doug Collins, and I love Doug. He's a dear friend of mine. The kids today, they don't care who Doug Collins is. He's not going to get them any players. We know who Doug is, and we look up and say, wow, that guy was a hell of a player and a great coach. Today's 17-year-old kids, who's Doug Collins to them?
Well, but their parents may influence where a kid goes, and the parents... You know, could be enamored with the star power of a kid like Collins.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think Bill Carmody's going anywhere, and I think that's a good move. I think he's a really good coach, and I think he's got this program turned around.
Okay, let's move on now to the 14th annual McDonald's City Suburban Showdown. It's Saturday night, February 14th. Is that correct, Dave? Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, 2 weeks. A week from this Saturday, 2 weeks from this past Saturday.
Bring your wife to the game.
What's that?
Bring your wife to the game, guys.
My wife runs the whole event.
I told my wife we're going out on Friday night. We'll beat the crowd so I could go see the ball games.
It's going to be a great night of basketball. We've done it before on Valentine's Day and had great, great crowds. We're going to have game one is Glenbrook North against Warren, and Warren's best player, of course, is Brandon Paul,
right,
who is headed to Illinois, best player in the state. And then game two, we're going to have Chicago North Lawndale, who's the defending state champ, and they're going to battle De La Salle, who has two of the top 30 sophomores in the country. So when you package it all together, it's a great family night. We have a lot of fun and two phenomenal games. And the number one pick in the NBA draft the last 2 years played in this event as a high school senior. We had Odin against Shire 3 years ago. 2 years ago, we had Evan Turner of Ohio State against Derrick Rose.
Impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, it's unbelievable who's played in this event.
By the way, can Mills play at a higher level than the school he's committed to?
Can which kid?
John Mills, the kid from...
From North Lawndale?
Yeah.
He's
committed to Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Yeah, he can play at a higher level than that, but do I think he's a Big Ten superstar? I do not, because he scores a lot around the bucket.
He's a warrior, though. He really is.
He knows how to play.
Everyone knows about Mike Shaw. Tell us a little more about the other guy, Henley.
Andre Henley is maybe as good a player or better than Michael Shaw. Henley can score on the block. He's real good in transition. And when he puts his mind to it, man, oh, man, this kid is really tough to stop. And then Shaw is 6'8.5", and he and Henley together, it's like they battle to see who's going to get to score more points. But tell you what, that team is loaded, and they've got Thomas Hamilton Jr. Remember Tommy Hamilton?
Yes. Sure.
His son is 6'9 in the eighth grade.
Yes.
And he's going to probably be a freshman at De La Salle next year, and it's unbelievable.
Wow.
He's got a lot of ability, and De La Salle is going to be the team to beat for a long time.
And is Hamilton considered, you know, somebody who's going to be just an off-the-charts prospect?
Oh, yeah, big time. Doctors are saying he's going to be 7'2", 7'3".
Hopefully they'll push him away from the training table. That was a problem with his father.
Yeah, I don't think his dad's real involved in his life. But, no, they said this kid is totally different.
Yeah, I've actually seen him play a little or saw him at a clinic. He's on a team with some other pretty top eighth graders, too. It's unbelievable how early although the NCAA now just passed a new rule about now it's you can't talk or go watch seventh graders or something, but Hamilton's on the radar. I know before they passed the rule, our coaches and most other coaches in the area have been out watching them and following them in their middle school AAU stuff, I guess.
Correct. You're not allowed to even, you know, write to these kids, which is... You know, let these kids be kids. I remember going to games back when I was coaching, and the thought of going to see an eighth grader back then in the 80s, not a chance. And I was working for the Seattle Sonics as a scout, and I said to this guy, Gary Wortman, he's now deceased, he was one of our heads of scouting. I said, hey, who are you coming in to see on this particular day? I'm going over to DePaul to watch whoever. I said, okay, that's a 7:30 game. I'll pick you up at the airport. We're going to see a high school game at 3:30. He said, a high school game? For what? I said, there's a kid playing in high school. If he comes out in the draft, he'll be top three picks. No chance. Well, I take him there. We go watch this kid. It isn't 5 minutes into warm-ups. He's like, oh, my God, can we lock the door? I've never seen this before. Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett. Well, yeah, that makes some sense. It's funny, when my eldest son was in sixth grade, he was playing on a, you know, just a AAU basketball team that a couple dads put together, and I was friends with Jim Shire at the time, and I really didn't know that much about John, but he said, you know, he's looking for an AAU team. I said, well, come and watch our kids play in Glencoe. You know, maybe he'll want to play on the team, and he goes, yeah, I really want to scout your team before I choose an AAU team. He came there, and, you know, obviously we didn't make the cut. But it was unbelievable how involved Jim was in the sixth grade and how meticulous he was about putting his son in the right position so that he could develop on the AAU circuit.
Yeah, I mean, John was a special player from way, way back when. People knew that this kid was going to be an unbelievable player. I remember hearing about him when he was, you know,
fourth grade. Fourth grade,
people were talking about him. So they knew.
And his dad was involved in every step of the process. Do you see that with so many kids now where their parents are really pushing them so hard at such an early age and really want to make and control the process for their children?
You know what? You'd be surprised. The parents are in some cases, but a lot of them in the city, the AAU coaches take over. It's sad. That's, you know, they start to broker deals for these kids.
And sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not such a good thing.
Correct.
It depends on who your AAU coach is and what their motives are.
We just had Mike Mullins on the show earlier today, and he just seems like such a fundamentally decent human being who really just has the kids' best interest at heart. I don't know if you've had any dealings with him, but I was really, really impressed with him.
Yeah, for everyone like him, there's five that aren't, which is just unfortunate, the whole process.
Yeah, speaking of Shire and Glenbrook North, let's go back to them in the matchup against Warren. I saw Glenbrook North play a week ago a non-conference game out at Prospect, and Dragovich really impressed. His all-around game, I mean, his quickness to the hoop, his shooting, his floor leadership, ball handling, defense. He got to the line. I think he had like 18 out of 20 free throws. Just kind of did it all and without really looking like he was dominating the game. I know he's got some offers, David. What do you know about that, and what how high a level you think he could play at?
Well, I think if he ever played as hard as he needs to play, he could play at any level. He is a really intense, tough player at times, and there are times where I don't think he plays hard enough, and I love his ability. But if he doesn't play at John Shire's level, he could be a big-time player, but not too many play as hard as John does.
Yeah, and their other their senior, is he not going to make it back, the kid with the back problem? Ponticelli
will be back in the next few days.
Oh, he will?
Yeah.
He's a nice
okay.
player.
Yeah.
Okay, because, man, that other night he was in his warm-ups, and it didn't look like he was walking too well still. I was wondering if and when
Yeah, no, they're telling us he'll play in our event.
Okay, that's good. So with that in mind, then, who's going to win that game, Glenbrook North or Warren?
Boy, I think it's going to be a really great basketball game. I mean, Glenbrook North has good players, but they don't have anybody at Brandon Paul's level, but he's dealing with a injured finger, which hurt him with his free throws the other night, but he says he'll be 100% by the time the event comes. He's had x-rays. He's okay. So it's going to be, I think, a real battle. I think Warren may edge him, but that one will go down to the wire. The other game, you got a veteran club in Chicago North Lawndale, defending state champ, against a young team in De La Salle that at times doesn't know how hard they have to play. So they're loaded with talent. So, I mean, you're going to see a bunch of future college stars there.
Yeah, I think North Lawndale may be the cream of that four-team crop in terms of high school basketball. I'm not talking about the college potential of any of the players, but just in terms of a high school team, that team has a real shot at winning the state championship this year.
There's no question. They could win another state championship. They're that good.
And how do the ticket sales look, and how can the fans get some?
Well, they can go to either ticketweb.com. I think you guys have the 800 number there in front of you.
866, is that it?
That's the one.
866-468-3401.
Give it to us one more time, Boz.
866-468-3401. I get nervous when you say that.
There you go. Or go to ticketweb.com. You can also go to you can call the participating schools if you want to get tickets through with them, sit in one of their sections.
And that's ticketweb.com.
You got it.
David, thanks a lot. Before we let you go, Cubbies, you and I are big Cub fans. The move's over the winter. Do you like them? Are we going to win a few playoff games this year?
They made two trades today.
Really?
Yeah, Rich Hill is now a Baltimore Oriole.
Okay.
For a player to be named later, and Michael Wirtz is now an Oakland A.
Oh, my goodness.
For a couple minor leaguers. So,
is that going to win us some playoff games this year?
I'm hoping. I'm hoping. It's enough already.
Hey, listen, any team is capable of having a bad century.
Yeah, okay there, Jack Brickhouse.
Yeah.
You got it.
All right, Cappy, thanks for joining us. Again, it's the 14th annual McDonald City Suburban Showdown at Welsh Ryan in Evanston, Saturday night, February 14th. Tickets at ticketweb.com or 866-468-3401, a tremendous high school doubleheader.
Hey, Cappy, is your son in Orange Crush down in Champaign?
He is in the Orange Crush.
Beautiful.
Does he wear a wig? Can we pick him out of the crowd?
Yeah, I've got to find out if he's wearing the wig. I haven't found that part of it out yet.
But he's enjoying his experience down there.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
Excellent.
Terrific.
Excellent.
Terrific.
We'll see you, man.
David, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
All right.
Boz, that was fun.
Yeah.
I like Cappy. He's as knowledgeable about high school and college sports as anyone we talk to. He definitely understands the Chicago basketball scenery. His interesting comment to me was, for every one guy like Mike Mullins, there are five guys who aren't so good.
Right, right. Well, you know, we didn't get that in-depth into Mike's program, but there are programs that are more instruction-oriented, and they run practices weekly. And there's other programs where kids just show up at places on the weekends. They roll the ball out and play. And there's a difference. You know, some coaches just want to sell their guys to colleges to say, okay, I got this guy here, this guy there. And sometimes they overpromote them. The college coaches aren't happy. And other guys are more realistic like Mike and look for the good fit for the kid.
No, and I see that. And to me, it sounds like he was dancing around the subject a little bit. But it's unbalanced. It seems like it's a sordid business. And there are things going on that aren't necessarily kosher. Boz, it's been a pleasure spending part of my Monday afternoon with you, as always. ILL, Boz.
I-N-I, Mr. G.
will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Hey Illini fans, looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.